I'm exploiting your misery for humor. That's probably the appropriate way to phrase it.
The Sunday Skypers. Burning beards.
Burning, burning, anywho. Burning.
All right.
So which burning do we want to go? The burning beds or the burning spiders?
Right. Fire everywhere. I think I'm going to sit on that for a short while we figure out if you have relevant stuff, like beliefs and such. I think you do. We didn't really resolve any last time. Providing you haven't changed anything in the last, 10 minutes, I should have the...
I'm good.
Yeah, I will remind my GM that I have both. I will reopen this Breweries of Scoria Deep by dealing with the spider infestation, which is work in progress, and make sure Murtaugh and Athelbad are kept safe. You need to imperil them so I can keep them safe.
Well, there's... They're hesitating while lots and lots of burning spiders are falling on top of them, and
Mother's coming.
The big, yes, yes.
Yeah. And Ufkel's playing Burning Bard.
And we're about to find out how well he built the thing.
It's built to burn.
Yeah. Because this is the point where he sees, I'm not saying he's not frightened, he's seeing a giant spider, so he's probably going to crank it up. And this is the point where the fault in it will show up probably.
Yeah, we'll see how well you operate that thing alone.
Yeah.
Burn, baby, burn.
It sounds like we're going to go with spiders first. People are focused.
Oh, no. We still need to look at your beliefs.
My beliefs are pretty easy. Protect Bruna and Stonebones from the burning spirit.
And the others are about doing his cohorts and maybe finding research maps. Well, maybe that's from last time, actually. You did research.
Oh, my goodness. I should update that. Derp.
So now you have a path.
Yay. A wrong path, but I don't know that.
That is not necessarily the way it is.
It might get you within let's say 20 miles of what you're actually looking for. You never know.
It's just the more interesting route.
Okay, right. I'm good.
Yeah, I think those are good, and I think the princes are good as well. We came to that conclusion last time, dealing with the spiders, and well, I guess the middle one, like making sure that Flint is not eaten by spiders. I'm going to pretend there's an invisible the spiders. There, because otherwise it's all spiders everywhere. You'll have to kill every spider in the whole world to make sure that Flint is not devoured by them. But that's fine. And while Slate is on hold, I guess, or on his own adventures, I think we're going to start somewhere other than either of the two interesting and compelling cliffhangers, the way they do when they want to be annoying in, your favorite TV show.
So we're getting the villain shot?
Yeah, I think so. Well, villain is a bit, but maybe,
antagonist.
This is, meanwhile, that scene. All right, so imagine there's this great big sweeping shot of the mountainside slope, or valley where you got all your grain and the various old dwarven homestead ruins were, and there's a little cottage further down. There's a thin wisp of smoke rising from one of the mended chimneys, and we see this tallish, slim figure in buckskins approaching the cottage with a bird and some herbs in his hands, right? And he has a bow slung across his back. It's Finglarin, the elf that you met. And he stops a ways away from the cottage and squints at it. And as if he's surprised that there's smoke coming out of it. Like he didn't leave a fire on or something. So he gets a bit of a grim expression, and then he goes toward it and inside. We can see him opening the door and stepping inside and peering around, or actually not around, he sees who's there immediately. And we see that Thorir, the surfacer dwarf in all his weird human hippie getup, his henna stuff and his peculiar jewelry and his face paint and eye makeup and all that stuff.
Dude.
He's sitting by the hearth, right?
With a bong.
Not a bong, but he's...
With all those spices around?
He's certainly enjoying his pipe weed. That's what he's doing.
Ah.
So he's sitting like with his feet propped up on a pallet while like sitting on some chair that's slightly over large and just like enjoying his pipe. He lights up when he sees the elf come in through the door with like dinner and herbs and stuff. Yeah, Figlorin looks at him and goes, "You have returned." And Thorir takes a drag on his pipe and says, "Aye, and with news." And Finglarin walks over to one of the tables and puts down the bird and the herbs. And he says, "So you found it?" Thorir says, I have. But, you know, the mountain folk are they're slow to trust. If you still want it, we must play a little game." And Finglarin turns around and looks at him for a bit like, "Okay, what's this, you know, what's this bullshit you're trying to sell me?" And he says, "What sort of game?" And Thorir says, "Well, only a bit of theater. It will not be hard, but you will need to brave the tunnels." And at that, you can see that, you know, Finglarin gets less than, you know, he's less than happy to hear that. His countenance darkens and he says, "I see." And he walks over and sits down by the hearth as well. Thorir empties his pipe into the like fire, and after a moment of silence, the elf looks at Thorir with kind of purpose, and he says, "What of the serpent?" And Thorir says, you know, he shrugs and goes, I did not encounter one. I would think it's just a human sorcerer exploiting rumors. Dangerous, perhaps, but not some storied worm." Finglarin nods, as if in thought, and then he looks back up at or down, rather, at Thorir, who is like jabbing one of his thick index fingers into the pipe to sort of get the last crap out of it. And Finglarin says, through like heavy brows, like, "What of mother?" And Thorir coughs a bit as if to like hide that he's like, "Oh, whoa, I thought we would like not talk about that, but okay." So he straightens up and clears his throat like, "Mother, still alive by all accounts. I had no way to reach her, but the goblins, they mentioned her. It was an unsettling story." They share this sort of awkward, unpleasant silence, and then Finglarin rises and says, "I'll gather my things." And Thorir nods and puts his pipe in his like sleeve, and that's where we leave them for something entirely more fiery. I think maybe the camera like swoops in toward the fire, into the hearth, right? And the glow like of the coals suddenly like spring up to fire, and the fire takes on a there's this sound of a great whoosh, and we're back with the spiders, and Ulfkill is like pulling on the mechanism, and this just ball of flame starts to jet out toward the great mother spider, right? And all the noise of that scene begins to come in, you know, the roar of the fire, the falling spiders, burning spiders, and Fandral and shouting as well in the background.
And Ulfkill screaming, "Die, die!" And Mother going, no, stop the fire.
Yep. As we all remember from last time session, he goes. Anyway, so let's see. Let's resolve your little attack that we never got to do last time.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be using my my learning skill of war machine, because that's what you have to use to do this. And that means I don't get to add anything to it.
It's rooted in two different stats, right?
It's will and perception, I believe.
Okay. So you can use either.
I'm probably dumping into will because it's getting close to where if I can get it difficult, I'll be one closer to actually upgrading it. I just need to get some deeds on it. Oh, speaking of which, I mean, if there's anything that I would say would be more deed worthy, would be this right now.
Yeah. Here's the question before we go to any dice and figure out, you know, what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's Ulfkill's intent with this, like, attack?
He sees a giant spider. He wants to light her up.
I mean,
he wants to get her on fire and kill her.
All right. So killing the spider is your intent. All right.
Yes. With fire.
You know, I think the spider's really just barreling forward, so kind of to stop you.
And I'm pivoting the weapon around so I can get aimed right at her and cranking to crank like I never cranked before.
Yeah. I think we'll make it a versus test. The spider mother is going to be make a... I guess I'll use her speed. She's big and heavy, so she's not terribly speedy.
Is this all happening like in the action where Fandral was hesitating, so he's not going to be part of this?
If I remember correctly, one action. You were hesitating for one action, right?
Yeah.
The only person who didn't freeze is the spider breaker of Maul.
It's appropriate for some reason.
It's so appropriate. This is that action. And I guess Fandral wouldn't really have maybe made any sense of like her outcry, since he was busy staring at the beguiling webs, or, you know, the horrifying web symbols. But yeah, we'll resolve this, and then, you know, Fandral's back into action. And then I think after that, you started to like try to get everyone in to have them stop hesitating, right?
Yeah.
Because we resolved that. So, I guess this is, Ulfkell's action actually happened while you were hesitating, like you said. A bit of, like, continuity shuffle, but I think we'll make it work.
We shuffled bigger things than this.
So, it's gonna be a versus test. She's going to use her speed, which is going to be 5.
It's speed versus speed, is what you're saying.
Well, you're still going to operate the machinery. If she beats you, she's gonna get there first. You're not going to have a good bead on her, right? It's not going to be...
Oh, so this is to determine who goes first.
Well,
then.
not necessarily who goes first, just that she's moving forward. So if she does really well, maybe you'll like singe some hair, but you won't actually tag her very badly. And if you get tons of successes, you know, she's going to be caught in the middle of the burst or the blast.
The reason I'm asking is, so in this case, I should really be, if I'm going to spend a deed, spend it here. So that it represents my adrenaline kicking, going, no, you don't! Swivel.
Yeah, if you want. You're using perception, you said?
No, I'm using will.
Will, okay. And that's B6?
Yep.
Whatever successes I manage to get are doubled for your obstacle, for you to overcome. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll roll first, even though, you know, it's the same. Actually, you should decide if you want to spend something first. You know, let's not forget that part.
so which one am I using? Am I using speed or my
you're
will?
You're using war engines. War engineer.
Engines. Well, yeah, I'll spend that deed, so that will basically double what I'm rolling then?
Yeah.
Or double result?
Double your dice. Double your dice.
Ah.
So or you can hold on to it, and you can re-roll all traitors.
I think I'd rather go for a shitload of dice. 12 dice.
Is that the only thing you want to spend? You can spend up to 3 persona as well.
How much persona do I got? I got 5.
You can tap your greed.
Oh, yeah. These are the breweries.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I'll definitely tap my greed.
So that's 1 persona. So, and up to however... Do you have a B4 greed or something?
Oh, yeah. No, I got B5 greed. I actually went up.
So, well, you can tap dice. Up to 5 of those for 1 persona.
I'll do all 5. I'll do all 5, so that's 17.
Okay, remember to mark a difficult greed test. So you're rolling 17 dice, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's roll off 2 successes for the spider, which is doubled to 4.
7 successes.
Marvelous. Okay.
And 1-6, if I spend, being bigger is better, right?
Yeah, in this case, the more successes you get, the worse you're going to hurt her.
Spend a fate.
Okay.
So I basically get her 3 successes.
Yeah. Okay, you exceeded the obstacle, so I'm going to give you a +1 to the die of fate to determine how much damage you do with the fire. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a slightly more effective version of like a fire bomb. I'm going to increase that damage a little.
Liquid fire.
Yes,
that should stick nicely to her carapace.
So, roll me a d6 +1 for the die of fate.
2.
All right, that's unfortunately the incidental category. It's still a b6 wound, for this spider. Let's get my notes. Congratulations. You scored a superficial wound.
Burned all the hair off her carapace.
Pretty much. So she comes barreling toward you, you know, shrieking, no! And you know, you scream your battle cry or whatever.
For beer!
Die! Right? It blooms out across her, and she, by some movement of her body, she doesn't end up in the middle of the blast, but sort of to the side. So you scorch... kind of the side of her, like, big, huge, hairy back thorax. and a bit of the like the face as it comes past, and like the tops of her slightly shorter like spider legs, and you can see all these like crawling tiny, almost like baby spiders crawling all over her, and you tag a few of those, and they like fall down, burning, and
little screams.
Well, you don't really hear them. If Flint were here, he would hear a lot of horrible things all the time.
Well. The screen, actually, thankfully, it's not screens. He's not. It's actually, since they're shelled creatures that are on fire, more like the sound of steam escaping from their carapaces.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, they're completely immolated by the blast. So, like, they're falling off. And like you said, there's hair being singed off. There are, like, patches where the fluid is sticking to the carapace and just, you know, burning. But it's not horrible, horrible injury, even though, like, I think you burned one of her eyes. Pretty badly.
Smell that. That smells like bacon. It smells like victory.
I don't know. Have you ever actually burned spiders? Does it quite smell like bacon?
No, but that's what the liquid fire is based off of, mostly bacon grease.
Bacon grease.
That's why we have to keep it liquid, otherwise it just congeal inside.
Now I have new images of the dwarves trudging through the various caverns with like a whole herd of pigs. So while that's happening, Fenrir comes to, starts to try to get everyone in shape. You know, it's not going so well. He's slapping the paralyzed Roar across the face. And I think
it's time for axe to the face.
Since we're in a weird little time shift, I think we're going to do one more thing with Overkill, and then we're like back to linear time or whatever we want to call it.
We're in game time now.
Yeah. Yeah. This weird notion of actions and stuff.
See, Overkill now in a black trench coat, leaning backwards, and spirally shooting past him.
A spine from the carapace shoot out. Well, she's like just barreling forward, and her intent is just to knock over your like wagon with your war machine.
Oh, it'll probably explode.
It might. Mm. That's going to happen. What are you going to do about that, if anything? Like, you could jump off.
I see her coming. You know, I do got my hammer handy. I stop cranking. I step back, jump up on top of the machine, run. I'm going to leap on top of her head. With my hammer ready to do just to hammer her with my hammer.
You might do that afterwards, but
she's
going to
hit first.
But for now, yeah, it's like you burned her, and now you know she's going to crash into the cart.
Look down really quick, and I see my two apprentices. Move, you fools! I'm going to use my learning skill command just to make them move.
Seems appropriate. This is delightful. Very good idea. Yeah. Phenomenally good idea.
Yeah. So is this a routine command or is this a difficult command?
They were hesitating for three actions, I believe. So the obstacle is three, which is double to six when it's a learning skill, right? They've already hesitated for an action. So let's make that two.
It'll be a four.
So it's going to count as, advancing command.
Yay! One more, and I'll have command at B3. So I got B4. Yep. Just one roll for both of them.
Yes.
And I think I will burn a persona to get an extra die in that, up to seven dice.
Of course, if you fail, they're not going to be able to move before the cart turns over and falls on top of them.
Let's make that two persona. So, up to eight dice. All right. So, yeah. So I got beat a four with eight dice. Yes!
Oh. You have a few. You have two sixes as well. Yep. You don't really need them. You have the obstacle. Actually, you do, I think. You do. That's right. You do need to open them because successes above the obstacle for command is what reduces hesitation. So you're not out of the woods yet. Or they are
two
not
more.
Out of the woods.
Two more, and I get another six, so that one goes, so that'd be two.
Oh, keep rolling. For fun, mostly, because you just did it. And it's a six, yeah. Okay. I think not only do you get Murtaugh and Æthelbald to, like, snap out of it and, like, leap out of the way like crazy people, a few of the axe bearers nearby and, like, two or three of the human warriors snap out of it as well. And go, you know, hurling themselves away. Of course, since you didn't elect to, like, defend the wagon or, like, jump off or anything, it's now being... turned over yet. Why don't you give me an orb 3
topsy-turvy roll
speed test to not like hurt yourself or like end up underneath it or something.
Stay on top of it or something like that. Yeah.
Stay on top of it. It's not the barrel that you can run across. Like when it falls over, you're either going to fall off it, like jump off it and not be underneath it, or it's going to pin you, right? Yeah.
So that's going to be 4d6 versus the 3?
Yes.
I got 2% left. I'm not going to spend them, so this may be bad for me. 1 success. No sixes. So I get tumbled under and they get run over by my own cart.
Yeah, you're pinned. You're not hurt. You're armored. But you're not stuck underneath the war machine. And you can see like the fire and all the coals that's underneath warming up the liquid. Mm-hmm. It's dashed across scattered. The floor. And yeah. And you can see like, of course,
it
like
was not designed to be upside
movie,
down.
Like in every bad action movie, the tank's beginning to like spill, and it's spilling on top of the hot coals, and you can see this sort of fire springing up all around you. Not all around you, but to one side of you.
Oh, no, make it nice. The coals are scattered. They landed far away, and the relief valve. Now, it wasn't designed to be operated upside down, so the relief valve's dumping the fluid and slowly moving toward the coals.
Oh, nice. Oh, the nearest coals, right, they take fire because we have to have the tension element, right?
I believe you've been hoisted by your own petard.
Yes. I think it would be cruel to like cut away and not have Fandral be able to do something. So so let's go to Fandral. Like, okay, so I mean you're done slapping everyone and most of them are like still stunned. Ulfkell's making a mess in the van, and I mean you see all that.
So I know that the machine's gonna blow up.
I think you can see right away that it's falling over and the liquid is just pouring out all over the coals. Or near the coals, and a few of them are like going whoosh, and you see Ulfkell being trapped underneath the like wagon, pinned, I should say,
with the big spider over him.
The big spider is turning toward the your serried men and the humans who are still hesitating, preparing to like leap into them. So I guess essentially this is like that moment in the Telltale game where you have like, do you press right or do you press left?
Well,
who do you want to save?
I know Ulfkell can break a spider, so he can get himself out from underneath this thing.
Oh, you beautiful creature!
there are some X-Bears who are unshaken from around me, so I might be able to command
them. That's true. Maybe Fandral like shouts a command for them to help as he leaps toward the spider or something.
Yeah, help with the machine, and goes lifting his axe over his head, charging at the giant spider.
All right, and of course, as you're like leaping forward, all the like flame from everywhere is reflecting in your dwarven mail and like these shining rainbow patterns, and your fluffed Dvergar beard is blowing behind you, like very cinematic. What do you want to do? I guess the spider is attempting to start to trample or beat or eat your men and the humans.
I'm thinking axe to the face.
All right, is your intent to like dissuade it or get it away from the men, or
to take off its face?
To take off its face.
Yes.
But do you mean to slay it, or do you mean to take away its sight?
I would be looking to do grievous injury, intending towards the death of it, yes.
All right, okay, you intend to kill it, okay.
First goal is its eyes and its bitey bits are all up there at the front, and so that's where I'm attacking.
So since Ari isn't here, we can mention lots and lots of face parts.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it has like these smaller, almost like T-Rex arms, you know, with its four mandibles on, and then it has like mandibles behind those, so we can like reach out with the outer, you know, mandibles to like swipe at people. Once those grab people, the inner mandibles, you know, come down, and you know, you can see that they're sort of dripping with venom. All right, so as you're like leaping for it, you can see all these like details, like the fact that it's still like burning on the side, and there are all these like tiny spiders falling off it or crawling all over it, and it's like great eyes are like wide and like big evil rubies. I guess
they got to glisten in the fire just the same way as the male glistened.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we have a male dwarf leaping for a Volkswagen Beetle-sized crazy spider thing. I guess we'll do a bloody versus.
Okay.
Let's look at that.
It worked well for me.
I imagine Mother is not quite on fire, but still smoldering and just giving off black and evil fumes.
The like the, patch, curling the patches where there's still liquid on her that's burning are still burning, right? But she's smoking, and you know, there's that one eye that is all but ruined. So yeah, it's a sight.
That one eye, is that like a minus to the spider, or is that an advantage to Fandral?
Functionally, she took a superficial wound, so she's had an extra obstacle.
Okay.
So, like in a bloody versus test, any successes Fandral generates, we add one to that. So let's rack up our bonuses and stuff. She has longer weapons. She's certainly armored, as you will come to discover. So you get one die for having a good weapon against that. Oh, let's never ever forget your balanced die that you get for your superior axe or whatever it is. It's your dwarven made axe. So that's two dice. The defense side, you have your four dice of armor. So six extra dice. You don't have a shield, right?
No.
Princes don't need shields. Well, except for that oaken shield fellow, but we don't talk about him.
That's what he has X bearers for. They're his meat shields.
True. Other than that, I think you'll need to like consider forks, because I don't see anything else that you would have a like an advantage in from the list. Like, she has longer stride. I think you're pretty much equal in reflexes. She has longer weapons. What could you fork in?
Strategy, because I have set up everything in our defenses, so she'd have to come through the array of the boar spears and stuff to get in amongst us.
Since your men are hesitating on that side, I'm inclined to say no, unless you use them to your advantage, like you duck behind an axe bearer or a human being when she swipes at you.
Well, since I'm going to be talking and yelling, maybe she'll understand me. And I can use intimidation to make her hesitate.
Okay, in that case, it's a different test. If you want to make her hesitate before you leap in, we can do that first. And then if she does, we can go to the killing test. Otherwise, you could like fork it in and say that you are, you know, roaring and shouting and presenting as horrifying an image of yourself as you possibly can.
All right, yeah.
In that case, you could also fork in conspicuous, because I suppose you want her to focus on you and not your, like,
yes,
other dwarves. Yeah. So that's a good bit of that's like 8-9 extra dice on top of your axe. So she has longer weapons. That's one die. I don't think her mandibles are that sharp, so I'm not going to give her an advantage for that. She does, however, have quite an old carapace and a few other quirks that you will come to realize soon. So I'm giving her three dice for armor. So that's four extra, and she has longer stride, so that's five extra. And for forks, I guess I'll use dwarf-wise. You're not in a cave, precisely. You're in the middle of a chaos. I'm not going to use that. How much was up to? Like five,
we're in the middle of a brewery, if that's an advantage to dwarves, if anything.
morale bonus, yeah. Okay, I'm going to refactor it because I'm not paying attention to myself. Five extra. That's what I had. Okay, five. So she's going to roll 11 dice, and I guess her intent is to incapacitate you. I guess she's going to want to capture you with her mandibles and maybe sink her mandibles, her dripping mandibles into you. Yeah, why not? I'll spend a persona. She has 12, and that's her last persona. I'm going to go 9 and 3. So 9 attack and 3 defense, because she's slow compared to you. Or, well, ungainly.
Probably a good one to get the minor epiphany here. So
it's going to be, well, okay, I guess it's for the duration of the scene then. So that's it's like 5 fate, 3 persona and 1 deeds.
Does that mean I wouldn't be able to do greed then?
I guess you might have a point, since it's never ever come up in a game that I've played. So it may be that. So what you could do then is, I don't think you could, but that's boring. So if you want to do an Aristea, let's do that, and then you can spend art on top of that. Of course, I want you to tap green. In like shade shifting axe or whatever, yeah. Or well, yeah, okay.
Throw another persona and use a difficult greed to throw 7 greed dice, because as I'm charging, it's like, you and all your children will be burned out of my hold.
True. You can't have a rival power in your hole. That's horrible. Anything else?
I think that'll hopefully do it.
Satisfied for now? Okay.
So I got 21.
She does not have a terrible amount of like defense dice, like 3 and 9 for attack.
Yeah, she's really attacking me.
Fingers crossed, eh?
Dun, 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 dun.
Bit more exciting scene, I hope, like in the fiction at least.
Well, see, that's where the bountiful imagination kicks in. I'm seeing this all in slow motion from multiple camera angles. You know, it's like, I got my 3D glasses on, dude.
In the background, you see the dwarfs busy trying to lift the carpet up so Ufko can run out. It should be followed with a slow motion explosion behind the group of them as the thing explodes. Michael Bay.
Or if you want to go more Lord of the Rings, you know, it's like, so there's fire, so there has to be soot and burning soot just wafting through the air, just you know, adding to the gritty sootiness of it all.
So I will go 14 defense and 7 attack.
That will probably not yield a terribly terrible damage unless you succeed a lot.
Yeah, I'm hoping the shade shifting will help me get some more successes.
All right, so I guess we'll do attack first.
Well, if you're going to do her attack and my defense?
Yeah, we can do that. I guess I'll spend one of her 2 fate to open those 6s. 2, but no 6s, right? Okay, so 7, and you defend with 8. So no luck for the spider mother. So let's do your attack and her defense then.
No luck. Come on. It should be glistening mandibles cannot find purchase on the scale.
And I'll spend fate to open the 6s.
Oh, please do. Cool. Okay, so 7. Pays to shade shift sometimes. And she had 3. 2. Okay, so 5, which should give you a pretty good... Is your... I'm going to look at your axe. Let's add 2, I think. Fandral's axe. Add 2. Okay, so that means you hit with a superb hit, I think. I think that's what it's called. The best hit. The best possible hit. Which means you strike with a B12, which is not a fun injury.
Said axe to the face.
Yes, that is a light wound for this monstrosity.
Yeah, well, and actually increase it 1, right? Because she was wounded before.
That was a super. Oh yes, you're right. Okay, unfortunately, that doesn't do anything for you. You still get the best possible hit that you can. Let's see about advancement. So I think the most difficult one was actually, I think they're both routine, right? Because you had 14 dice versus 7 successes.
Well, but I got a bunch. I got 7 Arthur dice.
Oh, right. You were right. Of course. Yes. Where does that put you?
So she had...
7? So it's 7 versus 7? I think we did that last time as well. You picked one pool to have all your Arthur in.
Right. So yeah, 7 versus 7, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. And the forks count, so that should be a difficult axe test in that case.
Yeah, I think I already have all the difficulties I need.
That figures. So close. All right, so let's go into camera mode, fiction mode, to resolve this.
Charging, leaping over there, axe in both hands over his head. I'll burn you and all your children out of my hold, and gashing it in the head, hopefully.
Oh yeah. You did a light wound. I think you probably rend an eye or two, and sink it into the face. You know, she's maneuvering to try to get her whatever they're called, the little like T-Rex arms with the fangs on, try to grip you with him. But like Todd says, the links on your mail are too diminutive for her to get any purchase. So they sort of like rasp across it or slide off. You get like a loop of viscous spider venom jetting across your shoulder as you're sort of shifting to hew at her face again, right? And it's drooping down on the side of your armor, but it's not doing much or of anything. So yeah, it's like this close, unpleasant like battle stuff. Okay, you haven't killed her, but you certainly have like the upper hand. I think you just continue to beat and slash and hack at her until she stops attacking you. and she's just sort of curling up in a sort of, you know, spider ball as all these minor spiders sort of are escaping her.
Stepping on those.
And, you know, scurrying away out into the nets that aren't burning yet. And yeah,
yet.
That's pretty much where we are. I mean, she doesn't, it seems like she doesn't even dare to move anywhere because she's afraid that you're going to, like, hit more of her eyes or chop her in twain. She's not terribly badly injured, but it's clear that you've pushed her into a mental retreat. She's not going anywhere, and she's just now you get that sensation where it's like almost like being hit with a tidal wave of both sort of psychic and pure voice power, right? Where she's going, "Stop! No! I yield! Think of the children."
Yeah, I am. That's why I'm not stopping. But do we want to?
Yeah. All right. Let's cut away for now, since as people are like heaving at the groaning war machine over the sputtering war machine over in the other corner. Right. We cut to the stone hewer's hall, where all the like sorcerer's fire is blazing all over the place. Flint is embroiled in this sort of you're gripping and by turn are gripped by Scully or the spirit who is possessing Scully and he's screaming at you with this sort of twosome quality in the voice, like there's an undercurrent of the like enraged spirit, and there's this over fairly faint sort of familiar Scully voice in it as well, screaming "Die!" in that moment where we left you, I guess. So that's where we are.
Ah, okay, yeah.
What's Flint doing?
Well, after he's done screaming.
Oh, he's not done. Like, he continues. If you're not doing anything in particular to, like, stop him, or he's going to, like, continue.
I am, since my axe is in hand, I'm going to heft it over my head. I imagine with my right hand and with my left, clench his shirt and say, "Scully, snap out of it or I'll take your head."
Are you sure that's how he would do it? Because you're in, like, remember from last time, like, you just, like, went over to him and turned him over because you thought he was having an episode of some kind. You were a bit, like, paranoid, right?
Yeah.
And then we've gone to, like, him grabbing you, and in that moment of him grabbing you, and you realizing that, okay, oh, shit, spirit. And then all the flames came, like, bursting up.
What I want to do is intimidate Scully and or the spirit to back down.
That's cool. Did we do steel last time?
Yeah, I thought I ended up screaming for a round.
Oh, yes. Okay. So you spend the round like, that, and then you're like, okay, get your nerves in check, and you do that sort of intimidation.
Right. We'll throw in a little rationale with intimidation. Spirit! In this evil face-to-face thing, it's just like, I can talk to the Etharch. I can talk to you. Cease this burning.
All right.
It's not going to work, though.
We don't know. We don't know. You have intimidation, at least. So that's good. See if you can get it to hesitate.
I've got a B4 for intimidation, and mm-hmm. I really need to look to see what do I have for persona.
I need to open the sheet, character sheets. Oh, I can. I should be able to erase Lord Rom. He's not relevant anymore.
We hope.
But, I am the dead spirit of Lord Rom.
Well, then he would have completely different like stats. So,
not sure what the steel of the spirit is, but I got 4 dice for intimidate. I've got a really big shiny axe. I'm probably going to throw in a couple of perception. And Scully knows, at least, that I have a reputation for cutting people's heads off.
You also have a reputation for looking out for your fellow dwarves, right?
Yeah, shh. But I also have aggressive. Yes.
Yes, you do, and you are playing it. So yeah, that's great.
You just get the thing to not burn us to death.
Remember, if you play it in a way that gets you in trouble, Arta.
I'm not fleeing, and I'm not rescuing people.
I bang his head into the stone wall, going, "Release him!" Let's do this intimidation. You have your dice, and I think the obstacle is 4.
Ooh, well, I'm currently at 7, and I think I'm at 7.
You forked something in? I wasn't listening because I'm the GM.
Well, I was thinking 4 for intimidate,
okay.
2 for persona,
all right,
and 1 maybe blink blink smile for my reputation as the axe man of the prince.
Spirit doesn't know that though.
But Scully Spirit does see the big axe over its head.
Scully is in there too, so you may have a point. I'm looking at your skill seed to see if you have anything else. Not really. You have the shortest skill list of everyone. Like, well, it's armor, axe, shield, field dressing, command.
Would command fork into that?
Well, you commanding started addressing Scully, but then you started addressing the spirit, right?
Yeah.
And the spirit doesn't really owe you anything.
Axe? I know how to twirl the axe.
I don't think that counts, but I'll give you a bonus for your having a reputation that Scully would know, that she would be able to tap into.
Yep, 7 die then.
All right.
Versus a target of 4. Yeah, it doesn't bode well. No, not at all. Not for me.
So extra successes over the obstacle, if you get like more than 4, those will add to the hesitation of this individual, these two individuals.
Okay.
So that might be interesting.
Getting 4 will be the tricky part.
Yeah.
Over is pure gravy.
If you don't succeed, you're going to get into a sort of a wrestling brawl.
Not the beard. Okay, well, we'll make that their roll then. Let's see. I got 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. and no 6s.
Nope.
Missed by 1. That's going to be on my damn tombstone.
You know, you let out all that vitriol and all that, and it's only making things worse. You there's almost like a flaring of sorcerous fire in Scully's eyes, and he and she belts out, "Lying Gotterdam, I'll have your head for what you did to me!" And, you know, she, like, reaches up for your axe and starts, or, well, Scully reaches up for your axe and starts to wrench you in a bid to gain control of it and, like, to be able to axe you, right?
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was personal. Great.
If we roll back a few episodes, Ulfkill might have suspected.
Well, we got confirmation.
Maybe.
What do we do? We are doing wrestling.
Yes. Yes, we are.
That's what we are doing.
High stakes wrestling.
Yes. It's a power test to see if you can, like, hold on to the axe or if Scully, like, rips it from your hand. I almost said rips it from your face.
That would be the beard, which we said, no, not the beard.
Okay, and Scully's power is 5.
Yes, but he is also injured. Yeah? Huh? Huh?
But the spirit isn't and doesn't care.
Oh, poor Scully.
He's being ripped apart. All the stitches are, and all the, like, ointment stuff that he's, all his burns are being chafed against his clothing, as she's wrenching him around, essentially. He's probably leaving horrible, darkly, not smears, but, like, stains on the floor in your, like, wrestling, where his, like, burnt away skin is chafing against the stone.
In a wrestling match like this, is there any benefit for my being on top in armor with a axe that I can smack the haft into Scully's face? Would that offer any advantage?
I'll give you a die for being on top. Yeah.
Yay!
Absolutely.
All right, well, 5 versus 6, that seems fair. Ha ha, hee hee ho.
All right, well, we'll see. I could roll no successes, I could roll 5 successes. So, any Arta, or can we...
I'm going to skip the Arta on that because I'm down to 2 persona, and I want to keep those.
Man, so. you're almost... Well, the prince has a few Arta left, luckily, but yeah, the rest of you... We'll have to work on, like, maybe
someone keeps getting me in peril!
You don't have to spend them.
You could just die instead.
Okay. I need to do something about traitors here, because I've got a stupid amount of 1s and 2s.
Okay. You have 1 success, right?
Yes.
Scully presently has 2. I don't think you have a colon trait for axe, do you? Or, egods, we're doing a power test. Of course you don't have anything like that. No, I think the only way for you to, like, fix this would be to spend the deeds to reroll your traitors.
Yeah, no deeds for that. So, that's my axe!
Okay, so going from being on top of being all having the advantage, suddenly you're wrenched to the floor by this ravaged spirit possessed Scully, who rips your axe from your hand, and suddenly your like positions are reversed. He raises the axe, and you can see the sort of blood mad gleam. This like it's almost like there's an overlay of this elfin face over his features in that moment where he's like raising the axe, and you can see just utter hatred and satisfaction of like having you beneath, ready to be bearded. And in that moment, you can hear a shout over from the corner where Stonebones was sleeping before all this happened. And that's where we're going to cut your scene for now.
Oh, you're not going to go to the deuces machina of Bruno picking up her arbalest and picking him in the head?
That might still happen, but...
With my luck, I'm going to be the one that will be catching the bolt. So. God, man, the dice roller hates me.
There's so much fire in here. I should roll a die of fate to see who Bruna hits. Yes, yes, good. All right, so back at the breweries, Ulfkill is under the pinned under the war machine, the war engine, and
I probably pinned the worst possible way, which is I'm pinned on my side, so I can't actually do anything like a push up or push away. I'm on my side, so I really don't have the leverage to push myself out.
I'd say you have some, because I'm going to have you test power.
Okay. All right. So it's on my back then. How's that?
Yeah.
All right. Just, so I'm going to do a push up.
Heavy. You made it so heavy.
That's a cast iron pot there.
Adding the cast iron dragon heavy. Head is.
Yes. Here's the thing. We're gonna do a power test. It's gonna be like an ob 4 to lift this off you.
All right.
In time to like get your way before the whole thing
catches fire.
Catches fire. Yes. Goes. And you're gonna have two extra dice from the dwarves helping. The humans aren't even. The humans don't care. They're actually rushing off to like Fandral's side to help him hack at the big huge spider.
What? They're not staying by the Firebringer? Oh well. So it gives me a 6. I'll spend one persona, leaving one for that just in case I catch fire and have stay alive. So I'll give me up to 7 dice versus 4. Okay. 3 up. I got a 6. I'll spend that fate.
Yes.
Oh yes. Okay. Cool. So, like Murtaugh comes running and braces There's up against the wagon on one side, and Æthelbald does the other side. You know, you begin to heave, and one of the axe bearers comes rushing in to sort of push on Murtaugh to get him to, you know, have more leverage. You get just enough space that you can worm out from under it.
Scramble out, get up, grab the people right next to you, and run for it. And do we get the cinematic slow motion explosion behind them?
that's probably what Ulfkill goes, run, you idiot!
But see, you get it upright and shove it away so it rolls into the nest.
I doubt we get that. They get that far up, just enough for me to get out. Comes back down. When it comes back down, it breaks a pipe, and then that's when the big fireball behind us. But there's shrapnel.
Like bits of wagon and metal are flying everywhere, and like stunning a few of like the humans and axe bearers, while bits of wagon are flying, getting tangled in webs.
Æthelbald, spiders.
Æthelbald's like he stumbles in his flight, and because he stumbled, this big like undercarriage beam goes flying like where his head just were. So yeah, it's a complete and utter mess.
We make it to a wall. You lean up against it, breathing hard, and look over and say, I think I know what went wrong with the machine.
You think
will be better.
It rolled over onto its damn side.
It needs a wider wheelbase.
Should have made a close tank like Murtaugh said.
I look at Murtaugh.
There was no time for that.
I reach over and I give them both a hug. Yeah, done good, lads. And like, we all look up and say,
you're all like sooty and sweaty and, you know, panting. Some of you have webs, bits of web on you.
Gods, I need a beer.
So for the most part, now that the other dwarves and humans are sort of snapping out of their spell, so to speak, they kind of did that before, since it took a while for Fan to beat the spider into submission. Meanwhile, a lot of the webs are just keep burning, and you know, it's like when you have a thin bit of cloth and you set fire to it to the underside, and just the flames just eat up the cloth slowly. That's what's like going on in the webs, and all the like intricate symbols and shapes and tunnels and orbs that have been shaped out of like webs. It's almost like an artwork, you realize, in post, as it's just been eaten up by all the fire. If there was any kind of spider offensive as part of Mother's attack, it's no longer happening. Like, the spiders are scurrying away. And you realize, Fandel, when you're like, you know, you really heave to and, you know, decide to hew this thing in twain, you realize that while you can make superficial injuries, you can give her injuries until she, like, is essentially senseless. But the carapace is too tough for your axe.
That's why I'm calling for the fire.
More fire bombs, I guess?
Yeah.
Give me let's do a die of fate. See how much fire you have left, because you used a good bit.
We've got a lot available.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to stick like bits of debris in a fire and, you know, stick it at her, that's...
We can take the boar spears, use those to push her into a fire.
Sure.
There's a big one right behind her. Where the wagon used to be.
You can round up enough people to like do that. I think you set fire to some in the inside of a building, essentially. It's still burning in there. So I suppose you could like, you grab a bunch of people and you know, they help push the spider into the, essentially becomes like an oversized oven. By that time, the like inside of this place is so filled with smoke, you can barely see the hand in front of you because it's covered still with webbing. So, you know, people are starting to cough and falter in their steps. Aethelwald and Murtagh are like going, Ulfka, we have to get out of here.
I reach up and grab one by the beard and pull him down to the ground, grab the other and pull him down. Say, you keep low in the smoke, you fools.
We're dwarves. We're born low.
That's totally what Aethelwald says in reply.
Crawl! If I see someone, I say, get down low, crawl!
All right,
get out of here!
Okay, you see a couple of like the humans like coughing, half coughing up a lung, like collapsing.
They collapse, I'll pull them down and say, fool, come with us, crawl!
The dwarves are like, you know, hauling ass out of there, waiting for the flame to like eat up as much as possible of the webbing.
And the poor mother spider, like the Guanji in the Valley of Guanji, is burning to death in the building.
You've lost like half. Like, there are maybe 20 of like the human warriors left. Tarsimon is hurt and a little like he seems like delirious, like he got a bite in the leg and seems a bit out of it. His mouth is frothing a bit and he's like, his eyes are rolling, but he's kind of half stumbling, half crawling out of the breweries. And none of the others, like, he's their leader. None of the others care. They just walk past him. I wouldn't say they're ranked up like the dwarves would do, but it's like the nearest human equivalent to like dwarven linked discipline thing.
It's called a mob.
Well, it's not quite like, oh, we're just standing around here and shoving each other. it's more military. They line up in a military fashion, but not quite in a straight-lined super military fashion, somewhere in between. You managed to get most of the spiders and the webs out of the breweries. Congratulations. As we cut back to the horror in the hall, horror in the rock cutters hall, rock hewers hall. There we go.
This is a bad situation.
This is a bad situation. An axe is hurtling for your face.
I guess the safest place would be closer. Using my innate skill with an axe, I know its limitations as well as its strengths. I will get in close and I guess headbutt Scully or something.
I guess this would be... You don't have brawling, do you?
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure you don't. So it's beginner's luck brawling in that case.
Why? I should learn these things. Since it's beginner's luck, that means I can't fork in any skills.
You cannot.
Well, I guess this is where I spend those other two persona to keep from getting my head cut off.
Save one just it's the only way to keep your character from dying.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I don't think
he'll manage to rack up five successes, but stranger things have happened.
For me, it's almost inevitable. But yeah, we'll go with one persona. Sprawling is based on
power.
Power is five.
Oh, axe four. Brawling four, so I guess I'll fork in that.
It's a really good axe.
It is. That's right. I almost forgot that it's a 1d extra axe. So you're up against six dice. This is Scully's roll. Three and no sixes.
So I need to get six successes?
No. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. But it counts toward opening the skill. It's a routine.
I've had almost all failures. Why can't I have almost all successes, right?
True.
Because the dice hate me.
But you have 1 6.
You can roll five sixes.
No, but I do have a total of three that might mitigate the six against me.
It does. It does indeed.
Does he get a shave in one side of his face?
Which is a mark hit. Here's a question for Flint. Mm-hmm. Was Flint wearing his helmet when he went to see Bruno?
He was still in full armor, so I'm going to say
yes. Did he do his research in his helmet, with his helmet on?
Or did he put his helmet on subconsciously when he walked over to Scully?
If you had an instinct that said, always put my armor on before danger, yeah, totally. But you don't have an instinct like that, so...
50-50 roll a die? What's worse that can happen?
All right, let's do a die of fate. Let's be generous. If it's a 1 and 2, you have it on. 3 to 6, you don't.
Fair enough.
And this is where you roll high.
Of course. Do I roll or you roll?
You roll.
Oh, so it's my fate. Great. Survey says 6, of course. Nice roller. I officially hate you.
So you can spend fate and make it even worse? Also forgot your pants.
Now that's just creepy.
So let's see.
At the loo when this all happened, of course.
Flint, what is a B8 on your physical tolerances scale? A B8 is a midi wound for you.
Oh, so sad.
For me?
Yes.
Ow. So that's a medium wound. That's not cool.
And that means...
You are Flint the One Ear.
Well, if we want to describe it that way and you think it's cool, yeah. The axe is coming down and it's causing a type of wound that is a debilitating injury, but not life-threatening. It's extremely painful. So yeah, it's quite possible that it comes flying down for you and the intent was to like split your head open. But it like glances off your forehead, down your face, and maybe it does like shear one of your ears off.
Can we just go with a nice gash across but not into the eye, going from the forehead down to the cheek? Because I think that would be kind of cool. Check stink scars.
Sure, it can roll down that way. It's still going to take half your ear off.
Well, maybe Stone Bones can put it back on.
We'll get you a tin one. Nice and shiny.
So it's a deep, really unpleasant looking, horrible gash that goes from you know, your forehead down over your eye, maybe over your... just down across your cheekbone or over it, I guess, and then down across your ear.
Yeah.
Cuts off your earlobe.
No earrings for me.
Let's see how you deal with this wound.
Ask Stone Bones for some help.
Anytime you suffer like an injury that takes away a die or more, and this is a -2 die, you have to make a steel test. And the severity of the wound is subtracted from your steel. So you have to roll steel -2 at present.
Okay, and that's versus my hesitation?
Yes.
This is a bad day for Flint. Bad day. Just saying.
I think you may want to hold on to your persona. You could spend persona to like automatically succeed, I believe.
Yeah, but rolling 4 die versus a target of 6 isn't going to be helpful.
It's open-ended by default, right? So any 6s are automatically opened. And if you can choose one traitor to reroll if you spend a fate.
We'll give that a shot then. 4d6. Two. I am in love with one.
But you have
got two of them.
So keep rolling.
Okay. I need. This is nuts. Total of 3 successes versus a target of 6. So,
didn't you raise your will? Your will is a 5. That means that your hesitation is now down to 5 instead.
Spend a fate to reroll a traitor.
Oh, you can do that too, yes, if you want to. Right now, you're hesitating for 2 actions. Yeah.
We're definitely going to do that.
Okay, cool.
I have buckets of fate.
That's true.
But it's a 3.
Oh, well. Guess this was a challenging steel test.
4 versus 6?
Yes. 5. But it's still challenging because it's over the amount of dice you have.
Holy cats. Just not my day. So, I guess we'll reach up, grab my bloody head, and scream. How's that sound for a hesitation?
All right. That sounds like you're standing and drooling or something.
Yeah.
Because you can't really run screaming.
How about instead of standing and drooling, laying down and bleeding?
Functionally the same. You can grab your head and go, ah! Since you got a midi wound, it has to be treated before the conclusion of the session or else the wound becomes a severe wound.
I just happen to have a surgeon next to me.
Yes. Lucky you. Let's hope the surgeon is not killed.
Oh, hush.
Right now, you are actually at a -2 to everything. Yeah. -2 dice. So that's
so that means tough. In theory, I can roll negative successes.
No. I think your stats are all such that you don't have a stat at 2, right? So it doesn't knock you out or anything. It's just a really bad wound. If you get another midi wound, you're going to be incapacitated. Like, you're going to be essentially crawling. Well, not crawling, but you're going to be, moaning and not being able to do anything.
Bleeding out, I believe, is an appropriate word.
That too.
Well, hopefully Bruna's not a heavy sleeper.
Head wounds bleed like a stuck...
Yeah, oh yeah, there's blood all over the place. The possessed Scully is sort of yanking the axe out of the...
My face?
Out of the floor, actually. It hit right between some very nicely, put together blocks, floor blocks. And he's sort of wrenching it loose and yanking it up for a second swipe. Across the room, we can see sort of Bruna stirring and looking around her all confused and horrified. She sees you struggling on the floor. Stonebones is rushing up from his place and hurrying over to see what he can do.
This is where you tell me a dwarven doctors using their extreme skill of anatomy can do surgical nerve strikes. It's like a Vulcan pinch just knock out Scully.
It's a dwarven nerve pinch.
Paralyzed.
Usually requires an axe.
It's a staple of dwarven surgeons.
Paralyzing pugilism. Hold still.
It requires use of a hammer, though.
I'm sure the tools of his trade are nearby.
Let's see what he has in case he can help.
See, this is where that hypocritic oath comes in. Do you protect the patient on top or the new patient on the bottom? Yes, I did mispronounce that word.
Whatever.
No, that was intentional.
Oh, sorry.
Do you grab the cup of prosaic? Was it prosaic? Not prosaic. Prussic acid and toss it in the face of the...
More burns on Scully, who'll notice?
The chloroform.
See, now that's why you're the prince.
Yeah, except we don't have... The closest thing we have to chloroform is some extra strong nog.
You never know what's in Stone Bones' bag of tricks. I think he was herb-wise. He might have something just for this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's rushing over to treat you while you're being hacked apart.
No. I mean, some vapors or something to still Scully.
All of a sudden, his impromptu infirmary is on fire everywhere with sorcerous flame, and a big brawl is happening between two dwarves, one of which is his patient, and some of his patients are in danger of being burned alive by this...
But isn't this one patient also on fire with green sorcerous flames?
I don't think Scully is on fire. Or did I say that last time?
No, just a superimposed elf face.
I was thinking last session, but I don't remember that. Maybe there was a bit of faint halo or something of flame.
Maybe at least in the facial area, that he has this glowing ethereal flame or some of that.
Certainly in his eyes. Not literally his face is on fire, but... So I think Scully is like rushing over to try to wrench
Stone Bones.
Rushing over in a mad bid to pull the maddened Scully off you. You know, running across and through all these fires, so the like the tails of his long dwarf smock are you know beginning to catch fire and like smoke. Let's see if you can do a power test with Scully. With Stone Bones, all these S names are driving me crazy. Soon I'm going to be calling you Slint. Stone Bones, rushing over, attempting to wrench Scully off you so you can do a power test and Stone Bones will help you.
Unfortunately, I'm incapacitated because I'm bleeding all over.
Well, you're not incapacitated. You are just, well, okay, you are hesitating for two. I guess that's true.
He's screaming bloody murder and there's blood everywhere.
Crap. All right.
Sorry. Well, it's just like Stone Bones. Like I said, he needs to use Doc Fu on this guy.
Right. So, okay. So here's what happens. Stone Bones is roaring as he's sort of rushing toward you. Scully is temporarily like there's a moment where he's about to hack you again. And then, you know, he realizes that someone is coming. His head snaps to the side almost at an unnatural angle. It's like if it were Stone Bones, you'd be like, ooh. Or I mean, if it were just Scully, you'd be, ah, that's not right. Right. There's no crack or anything, but it's like it's clearly sort of far, a little too far. It's like, ah. So there's a moment where you know, instead of cleaving your head in twain, his attention is on Stone Bones. And I'm going to see if they can do their own little wrenching match. Do you want to roll for Stone Bones, maybe? Or someone?
Oh, sure. This is true. Well, if anybody else wants to jump in and roll and keep themselves amused, they are more than welcome.
Now, Stone Bones' power is 4. He has an advantage of 1 die for having momentum. So 5 for who likes to roll for him. And I'm going to test.
Let's have the person who has the magic touch. Derek, why don't you roll for Scully?
That's when he's going to roll all ones. You know that, right?
Yeah.
That's happened before.
Had no dice left.
You forget all the sessions where he's had like 14 dice and rolled 2 successes.
I didn't roll that great this time. I helped a little because I shade shifted.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Actually, I'm the one with the good touch today. Let me do the roll then. How's
all
that?
Right. Okay, cool.
So how many dice does he get?
5 dice, and I'm going to roll 5 dice as well. 3 successes for Scully. And 4. And 2. Let's see. Does he have any fate? All right, I'll spend his 1 fate. Because this is important. It's like, holy crap.
Yeah, oh, Slate might get a promotion.
Do you mean Stone Bones?
No, Slate.
Oh, Slate. Why would he get a promotion?
Because there might be a vacancy.
I see. Okay. So how many of 6? We have 7 versus 3. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's almost double. Okay, so you stop being completely debilitated by this horrifying axe wound that's just spurting blood down your face and all over your ruined ear, soaking your hair.
Oh, yeah.
On that side. When Stone Bones crashes into Scully and, you know, the axe goes flying into the flames. They're rolling away. Stone Bones ends up on top of Scully and Scully is on his belly. And he's, for now, he has him pinned. But you can see Scully sort of reaching out one hand with his palm up because he's underneath. And you can see this like sorcerer's flame sprouting up from the middle of his palm and reach to his fingertips. And he's about to like smack Stone Bones in the face with his immolated fist, right? Or palm, I should say. Or grip him.
Burning palms.
Yes. For now, you're prone. What do you do?
This is where I use my dwarven sorcery. Yeah.
Oh, damn. Yeah, it's called drunking. Sadly, there's no beer.
Well, there's probably some cots nearby. You might be able to kick a cot into them.
I guess improvised weapon time, since I'm not really keen on reaching into fire to get my axe. What equipment does Scully have with him before when he was a patient? Did he have his axe?
I think right now all of his stuff is stuff that's with the other, like, what do you call them? Scouts.
So he doesn't sleep with his axe then?
He does not, no, in fact.
Damn it. What's wrong with him?
If roll a die of fate. Like, see if you roll a 1.
4. All right. Of course not.
So he might have had, like, a dagger or something, but there's nothing there.
I guess then we just used a chamber pot on him.
More brawling!
Yeah. It's what I've got.
All right. So, what's your intent now that you grab the chamber pot and you like leap for?
Well, hey, I could open up a new skill. I could try to throw it.
Yes, you could. Yes, you could. Awesome.
We'll throw the chamber pot and deflect, smack the burning hand. Now you can either say I'm helping Stonebone survive, or we can try to make an actual throwing roll and miserably fail at that, and maybe hit Stonebones in the head with the pot. There is a tradition for that.
I guess you want to use throwing. You want to throw the chamber pot, but the intent is to delay the attack or blunt the attack, or do you
absolutely? I'm trying to either deflect or delay the attack and give Stonebones an advantage to survive.
Okay, cool. Okay, so if you succeed, you're going to delay him long enough for Stonebones to get a pinning grip on Scully, so he can't actually do anything. If you fail, we've already done the whole you hit the other dwarf instead thing. So
well, hey, in chat it was brought up, is the chamber pot full or not? So I may be able to douse this burning spirit.
I think that's,
just saying.
I think that's mostly flavor. Like if you think it's fun,
not a good flavor either.
If you think it's fun that there's a little bit of sloshing in it, then great.
Absolutely. Because, hey, we might have to just do the yo-yo thing where the spirit bounces between me and Stonebones. But, yeah.
So, yeah, if you fail, the pee is going to blind Stonebones.
Oh, you are... Oh, gee, crap.
So you're going to give the advantage to the other dwarf instead.
Okay.
Spirit. Dwarf spirit.
In this case... Two people rolling on the ground, not that far away. Easy target?
Yeah, I'd say so. You're also kind of hurling it through fire. A lot of sorcerer's fires leaping all over the place. So
you're saying my advantages are nullified.
And you're sort of throwing it at two people who are not quite wrestling. I think I said he was mostly pinned. So if there were no fire, it would be obstacle one. But since there is... And it's all around you and sort of roaring, and it's a distraction. It's a two. So
okay.
You're going to need four successes to achieve what you want to achieve with this beginner's luck throwing.
Oh, no, wait. I actually have throwing as a skill.
Oh, you do? Cool.
I have no idea why, but I do. So I don't think I've ever used it, but hey, now is a good time as any, right?
Awesome.
So yeah, I have a B4 and throwing. I have no idea what that asterisk is. I have no idea why. Don't ask me. I have looked and I have no idea why I put that there. So I'm deleting that asterisk. And so this will be one routine?
It'll be routine and it's an op two. So okay. You need two successes to achieve what you want to achieve.
Odds are I should make one of these eventually. I should probably roll four instead of two dice. Finally, any advantage to burning a fate on that six?
Well, you're not really looking to harm Scully, I guess.
Okay, so I successfully chamber and throw the pot.
Yeah, and it hits the hand, I guess. That's what you were aiming at. You rob him of his intent there by hurling the chamber pot. You smack his hand and sort of it goes past Stonebone's face instead. So he grabs that arm and twists it back behind Scully's back and puts a knee on it.
Oh, this guy actually has some skill.
Well, you gave him the opportunity. Like while he's doing this, he's like roaring, like stop, or just random, not just stop, but oh no, and like he's completely in this panic state that you've never seen him in before. Oh, and Scully under him is like roaring expletives, stuff in what you guess is maybe Elvish.
Elvish curse words. That.
Yeah, weird musical but horrifying duality to his like expressions in that there are kind of two voices over each other. But he's pinned and he's not moving. I think the fire is like slowly, and you can see across it like Bruna's reached for her arbalest and she's sort of in a panicky way, sort of hands are shaking. She hasn't realized that she doesn't have a bolt in the arbalest. It's not even pulled back. She's just aiming it at the two of them.
Right. God, I don't know if it will damp the flames or add to the fire. I was wondering if I should bring in the Etharc, but for all I know, Flint is torn.
Do you want to think on it a little?
No. I will shout at the spirit, if you kill us, there's nothing we can do to put the Ethark to rest.
You're addressing Scully, I guess, or the spirit in Scully, yeah.
Doubt that'll work.
You know, the head, his head whips around to you. She just roars, you know, I recognize no Ethark. All I want is your blood, cursed Gotterdam.
You have it already. I will wipe my face and fling blood at it.
It splashes across his face and beard.
You know, if it's talking, it's not killing.
And Scully like does this sort of like almost gnashing at you and at the blood, and you know, as it gets it in its face, right? As he gets it in his face.
That's disturbing.
Yeah, it's very disturbing. It's like, let's cut to the other dwarves really quick and leave you there.
Because you are an evil person. But that
also, we're almost out of time. I didn't realize that. I think the scene is the breweries.
Are in flames.
The worst
of the
fire.
There's a lot of wood there.
The worst of the fire is gone, but it's still smoking like loads, right? The sort of roofing of web, it's collapsed inward and fallen down. And, you know, all the surviving dwarves and all the humans are sort of, you've retreated to a safe distance. The dwarves are looking over their injuries, which, since you did really well, it's mostly, you know, I fell over and hit my face because I was running out of a burning thing with smoke all over the place. The humans are really, you know, they don't really care about their hurt. They're, you know, they've just left them where they've fallen. I guess Tarsamon is stretched out on his side, and there's like this pool of greenish vomit beside him, but he seems to be recovering.
We'll offer aid if they'll accept it.
If you offer aid to the humans standing around, they just shake their heads, you know, very grimly, like you know, that's not their way. If you offer it to Tarsamon, he's like just weakly putting up his hand as if to wave you away, but it's not very clear because he's still very foggy. He's sort of mumbling, no, in hands of serpent, something like that. You're sort of, you know, watching as the fire is burning away the last of the webbing, essentially, and maybe there are a few spiders sort of crawling away into the deeps in the distance, sort of dragging half their bodies away.
Yeah, and so, yeah, of course, Wolfgill's looking at this going, the chimneys are plugged.
I think you and Æthelbald and Murtaugh are like, you're the ones who are standing around with tankards in your hands, sort of looking
at... I found some beer.
Yes.
So I'm sitting there looking at this going, pointing up, yeah, we're probably... It's probably like a small keg we brought along just...
Of course, because you were going to win. It was obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Point to where, you know, the smoke is piling up and saying, there should be a chimney right there, and it's not. So it's probably plugged with spider webs or God knows what's in there.
Æthelbald is like facing his tankard to you, and he's like, you should thank the prince. I don't think we could have done this alone.
Let's all go thank the prince. I grab the keg and bring it with me. My liege! And I proffer the keg.
Fandral will hold out his tankard. And
he's the only one who isn't like sooty in this whole group.
Just a few hints to be dramatically.
Oh, certain. yes, of course.
Sort of like like the end of Mythbusters, and Venkman is the only one who isn't covered in marshmallow that much.
So you pour him a tankard.
Yeah.
Put a hand on Ufkel's shoulder and gesture to the burning breweries with the mug. All yours, Ufkel.
Y'all need a little work.
Gives your apprentices something to do.
That is a learning experience.
One apprentice here, my lord. And I point to Murtaugh. This is one of my fellow brewers. I point to Æthelbald.
Are you waving him forward?
He's a promising young dwarf with some more years under his belt. He should put out some decent brews.
Gives you a nod as if like he didn't expect that to ever be said of him by you.
Hey, I'm changing my ways.
Like maybe you can even see a hint of like a tear in one of his eyes, which he like blinks away and sort of.
It leaves a little soot streak.
Yeah, sure. He makes a bit of a deference, like he bows his head to the prince, of course, since he's in the presence.
Good work with that fire engine.
Bits of it we could probably use to improve the pumping of ale, but, you know, my lord, be a foul day that I make another engine like that again.
Oh. Don't say never. We may have use of something like that again.
Well, I think I know I went where I went wrong. It needs a wider wheelbase.
Top heavy.
And Ethel was like, I think we'll drink to that. Do we fade out on that, or is there anything
sure.
else?
Sure. Just think about all the skill rolls you can make to rebuild a brewery almost from scratch. You've got walls.
We have walls. And
luckily, a lot of it is stone. So.
And that one room you drove the mother in, Welcome Pie, called the Mother's Milk. And that's what makes the stouts.
They have a tiny bit of spider venom in them for kick.
that tingle on the tongue.
I just want to stop. We sort of stop. And I look back. I got a name for the brewery. Spider's Bane. The coat of arms will be a spider with a big spike through it.
Not a burning spider?
Maybe a burning spider on a spike. Here we go.
A boar spear.
Oh, yes. Of course.
No. Brewer's paddle.
Okay, let's not get too involved. Like, what is that? There's so many elements. Oh, okay. It's a burning spider on top of a boar spear with crossed brewer's paddles under it. Let's do art awards, shall we? So, you've certainly dealt with a spider infestation quite readily, O Prince. So that is a persona point. Doing this certainly ensured that Flint was not eaten by the spiders there. So that's a persona point. Here's an interesting question. If I know things about certain characters that you don't, do I award beliefs that have things to touch upon?
By mother of all spiders, I meant the one that was charging at us.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think the very last shot... Like, if this were, like, a show, we fade to black on you guys, like, having your drink. And then it fades into the breweries, and most of the fire is gone, and there's, like, smoke. And you can see, the camera's going toward this almost oven-like thing that you pushed the big spider into. And there are these large drag marks across the stone going off across the plaza into the smoke as the camera sort of lifts up toward the wall, sort of upward over the wall of the sort of walled in brewery. There's this big shape just barely not hovering but tilting on top of the wall, and it falls down rather than crawls down onto the other side, right? It's like whoop, falls from view, and then it's like black screen.
Chopped off all its legs.
You did not, in fact. But you did deal it a horrendous amount of injuries, which it will not soon forget. I'm going to give you a fate.
I feel cheated. I feel cheated.
Yes, I know. You're going to get a fate for that. The problem is, its mortal wound is gray. You're going to need something. It's far older. It's older than fire.
I was using gray-shaded axe skill against it.
Yes. That's what you should have. Or, like, if you can find... Gothar's hammer or something. Yeah, maybe you'll have to find a gray-shaded axe or like commission one or something. All right, so two persona and one fate for your beliefs. I don't think talking in combat got you in trouble. I don't think expecting orders to be followed got you in trouble. Never trusting other races certainly played that, i.e. the spiders. So that's that for that. Let's hop on over to Flint. I'd say you protected Bruna and Stonebones from the Burning Spirit. That's a persona point for Flint. I'll give you a fate for aggressive, playing that trait. I should have had Bruna said run. Then again, that wouldn't have gotten you into trouble. So, or like, help me out, and then you'd have to leave Stonebones or something. Still fun. Necessarily, you didn't get the chance to do anything else. But that's cool. You know, we'll get to that soon. So that's it for your beliefs. And for Ulfkel, congratulations. You are that much closer to opening the Scoria Deep breweries by having eliminated the spider problem.
Yay! So I can remove by dealing with the spider infestation off that.
Yes. It's a persona point. And you also get a persona point for making sure Murtaugh and Aethelbald are kept safe. All right. I don't think any you did really had any fate earning stuff for the others quite yet. All right. So let's see what other things you could get stuff for. I'll give embodiment to all of you. That's a persona point.
A badly needed persona point.
Okay. So how do you guys feel about workhorses and MVPs? Workforce is the guy behind the scenes helping, having stuff.
One of them goes to Flint and the other goes to One goes to Fandral and the other goes to Ufkel. I'm not sure which one goes where, but that's the way I see it, because we had the fire which set up the weaknesses in the spider, and then we had the slaying of the spider. So I'm not sure which one to point at finger-wise, but one each.
So maybe Workhorse for Ufkel and MVP for Fandral?
Sure. Yeah. Since he drew
Do you guys agree?
Threat. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Do you guys agree? Yes, says Todd. Yes, they agree.
I'm not turning down a persona point.
That's just acting like the prince, channeling.
I guess that's it for this session, guys.
Hey, fun stuff.
Not a whole lot of progress, but lots of action.
An action-y episode works.
On my agenda, stuff that's on my agenda that I want, like, stuff to happen in the game, I think it's going to take another two sessions, maybe. And then hopefully it's going to be a good cutoff. But, of course, that's my intent. So, like Dirk mentioned, like, last week, it's probably going to be another 9 episodes. I don't know. I'm hoping for 2, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stress you toward like a conclusion artificially. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Still got that damn singing witch to deal with.
Maybe that is a season 3,
there you go.
Next season thing. I don't know. maybe. So, how do you feel about the stuff so far? Is it like progressing in a fun direction?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is like, I am just living for the failure.
Was it interesting to have like a meanwhile on the other side of the mountain thing? Or like, should I have less of that?
Oh, yeah.
The thing is, Fandral, nobody's ever told him that Ungwil and this
other elf?
Or elf they met looked identical. If that had happened, he probably would have killed him. Yeah.
Maybe Flint suspected that. I don't know.
Or he would have gotten the truth out of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, Flint does know of Fandral's bias against other races. So even if it happened accidentally,
sometimes,
he would.
Sometimes there is a reason for that.
But even if it had come up, Flip probably would have not said anything, because at that time he was trying to placate the Ethark.
Unfortunately, I don't think you've even told anybody other than Torir that.
And probably.
You know, he already knew.
Which I didn't know that he knew.
I know.
So I love that. One of them suspects.
Well, he did say that the mountain folks are slow to trust. So, I mean, clearly he has some scheme going on.
The byword is trust nobody. Excellent gaming session as usual. Catch you all later.
Next time. Yeah. Bye-bye. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I don't want you to, like, stay up and be miserable, because I wouldn't have fun GMing. If I know that, you know, one or several of you are, like, sitting there going, in the background, while I'm being all jovial and horrible.
Oh, I could mute.
Doesn't help. I still know that you're feeling awful. It's like, yeah, we know you feel awful. Just take this gag and try not to make any noises.
See, unfortunately, on Skype, I'm only left with my imagination.
Yeah, you put some jingle bells on, a pair of antlers, which will stay on for all of 5 seconds.
You can cost an elaborate plan to steal all the toys from all the houses.
You're a mean one, Mr. Taz.
You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel.
That's good applause there.
Yeah, we did go out Thursday night to the Melting Pot. It's a fondue restaurant. First time I've ever been to one.
Nice. So when they leave, does the staff bid you fondue?
That's a little too cheesy.
It wasn't Gouda enough. Morning, Dirk.
Keep pushing mute and it doesn't help. Send all complaints and other feedback at sunnyskypers@zoho.com. That's ZOHO.com or ZOHO.com if you prefer. Or come by the forums, sunnyskypers.freeforums.org. Or yell at us at whatever forum you may come across us on.